Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Thursday, May 16th, 10 million North Koreans are in need of food assistance as the country suffers its worst drought in 40 years. Power-sharing talks in Sudan are suspended, unleashing unrest, and international experts attend a Vatican conference on artificial intelligence and robotics. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo. North Korea says it is suffering its worst drought in nearly 40 years. The country is also experiencing severe food shortages, and up to 10 million Koreans are in need of food assistance. Media and advocacy spokesperson for the International Federation of the Red Cross, Matthew Cochrane, told Lydia O'Kane that the country is experiencing an early season drought where the most vulnerable are at risk.
We've been receiving reports from our Red Cross teams in North Korea, in DPRK, for a number of weeks, expressing alarm about what they've called an early season drought and the impact that that could have on what's already a really horrible situation in terms of hunger and malnutrition. They're calling it an early drought because it's affecting the spring crop. There's been a lack of rainfall during winter and now into spring. And this crop, although it's smaller than the main harvest that comes in at the end of the year, is critical for bridging the gap between the end of the last year's main harvest and the beginning of the next. And the warning that we're hearing from colleagues is that the impact is going to be felt worse by people who really don't have the capacity to withstand. So that's young children, their mothers, mothers who are breastfeeding, the elderly, and people who are already chronically ill.
There are so many people in urgent need of assistance. How is the Red Cross Federation providing that?
The numbers are staggering. There's an estimated 10.1 million people in the country in need of urgent food assistance. That's 40% of the entire population. And that's a situation that this drought is only going to worsen in the coming months unless something quite dramatic is done. And it will take a whole of sector and a whole of society response. It's not just one organization that can respond. For the Red Cross, as it is in any country around the world, our focus is really on targeting the most vulnerable. And they are, as I said, young children, children under five, and their mothers, as well as the elderly, and people who are chronically ill. We focus on young children in particular because they just have so little capacity to withstand even minor additional shocks. So we're looking at the moment to try and mitigate the impact of this drought. So we've released about 77,000 Swiss francs, which is about 70,000 euros, to help initial efforts that will reach about 22,000 people.
That was Matthew Cochrane, media and advocacy spokesperson for the International Federation of the Red Cross, speaking there to Lydia O'Kane. In Yemen, Houthi fighters and Saudi-backed government forces battled in Yemen's port city of Hodeidah on Wednesday, breaching a ceasefire and potentially complicating a troop withdrawal agreement intended to pave the way for wider peace talks. The Houthis began withdrawing from three ports on Saturday, including Hodeidah port, a lifeline for millions of Yemenis threatened by starvation because of the four-year war, as it is the main entry point for food imports and humanitarian aid. Power-sharing talks in Sudan between the ruling military junta and the leaders of a powerful protest movement collapsed after violent clashes erupted in the capital, Khartoum, for the second time this week. Sister Carmelan reports.
In a last-minute move, Sudan's military ruler suspended crucial talks with protesters on installing civilian rule in the country. They insist more time is needed to finalize the deal as Khartoum's security situation continues to deteriorate. On Wednesday, army generals and protest leaders announced they had agreed upon a 3-year transition period to civilian rule. They were expected to decide on the makeup of a new body to govern Sudan following the ousting of longtime autocrat president Omar al-Bashir last month. But after at least 8 people were reported wounded by gunshots near a sit-in outside the army complex in the capital, Sudan's army ruler announced negotiations would be suspended for 72 hours. Sudan's opposition alliance described the suspension of talks as a regrettable setback to efforts to forge a new democratic era. Security forces are preparing for more unrest in the capital, Khartoum, and in other cities. I'm Sister Carmelan.
Representatives of Venezuela's government and the opposition have travelled to Norway to discuss potential options following a failed uprising against President Nicolas Maduro. The trip suggests the two sides may be seeking a fresh approach after the repeated failure of dialogue between the opposition and the ruling Socialist Party amid a steadily escalating political crisis. Members of the Regional Bishops' Conference of West Africa have issued a statement in which they pledge to work together to combat terrorism and pave the way to peace in the region. As Linda Bordoni reports, their vow to promote peace and interreligious brotherhood comes in the heels of a spate of extremist violence against Christians.
West African church leaders are calling for unity to counteract the violence perpetrated against Christian churches and communities in the Sahel region and beyond. Burkina Faso and Niger in particular are reeling from a spate of jihadist attacks against Catholics in which at least 10 people, including a priest, have died and churches and Catholic symbols have been destroyed. Meanwhile, gathered in Ouagadougou for their third plenary assembly, bishops of the Regional Episcopal Conference of West Africa said it is together, in synergy, that violence will be overcome and that the people will emerge victoriously. The plenary is taking place in Burkina Faso's capital city until May the 20th. Noting that his brother bishops are present for the meeting despite the current climate of insecurity, the Archbishop of Ouagadougou and President of the Burkina Faso-Niger Episcopal Conference, Cardinal Philippe Ouedraogo, said the presence of the bishops of our sister churches demonstrates the living solidarity between the communities of West Africa and the world. The Lord is here with us, he added, and we will win. Some civil authorities are also present at the meeting. One representative of the Economic Community of West African States praised the church's intention to contribute to peace and social cohesion. This effort, he said, is all the more necessary because terrorists are trying to unleash intermunicipal and now interreligious conflicts. Christians, he said, have been killed for their faith without any other reason by people who have no morals or ethics. I'm Linda Bordoni.
Brexit-supporting rebels in British Prime Minister Theresa May's Conservative Party said on Wednesday they would vote down her European Union divorce deal when she brings it back to Parliament next month. Britain had been due to leave the European Union on March 29th, but Parliament has three times rejected the withdrawal agreement May struck with Brussels. The United Kingdom is now scheduled to leave, with or without a deal, by October 31st. Iran has officially stopped some commitments under a 2015 nuclear deal with world powers following an order from its National Security Council. Last week, Iran notified China, France, Germany, Russia and the United Kingdom of its decision to halt some commitments under the nuclear deal, 1 year after the United States unilaterally withdrew from the accord and reimposed sanctions. Marking 300 years since the death of St. John Baptist de La Salle, Pope Francis met today with members of the Brothers of the Christian Schools. The Pope invited them to follow in his footsteps by educating the poor and by promoting a culture of hope. Devin Watkins has the story.
In an address to the De La Salle brothers on Thursday, Pope Francis praised St. John Baptist de La Salle as a pioneer in the field of education. He established the Institute of Religious Brothers in France in 1680 to provide quality education for poor children. The Pope said the saint's legacy is still remarkable today for its vision of the school, the concept of the teacher, and innovative teaching methods. Considering these three elements separately, Pope Francis said de La Salle's vision of the school made it clear that all people, even the poor, have a right to education. He gave life to a community of lay people to carry out his ideal, the Pope said, and was certain that the Church cannot remain a stranger to the social contradictions of its times. Most education in 17th century France was done by priests, so the formation of the laity as teachers was revolutionary. Pope Francis then reflected on the saint's concept of the teacher. De La Salle, he said, decided that teaching is not just a job, but a mission, and surrounded himself with good educators and formed them in the dignity of the teacher. The Pope said the saint also put into practice new teaching methods. He held lessons in French rather than the Latin that was widely used at the time and divided pupils into homogeneous groups in order to better educate them. De La Salle even held seminars to form teachers in the countryside and founded Sunday schools for adults.
Egli sognava una scuola aperta a tutti.
He dreamed of a school open to all, said the Pope, and thus dealt with even the most extreme educational needs. Finally, Pope Francis urged the Brothers of the Christian Schools to imitate his passion for the least and discarded, and to contrast the culture of death with a culture of the resurrection.
Non stancatevi di andare in cerca di quanti si trova.
Never tire of seeking those who find themselves in the modern graves of bewilderment, degradation, discomfort, and poverty, he said, in order to offer hope for a new life. I'm Devin Watkins.
Robotics, artificial intelligence and humanity, science, ethics and policy. This is the theme of a two-day international conference that kicked off in the Vatican today. The Vatican's Pontifical Academy of Social Sciences and the Pontifical Academy of Sciences are organising the conference taking place inside Vatican City. Robin Gomes has more on the event.
A brief note ahead of the conference explained that recent advances in machine learning, commonly known as artificial intelligence, AI, and robotics, have aroused widespread interest and debate regarding their benefits and drawbacks on humanity. According to organizers, these emerging technologies have implications in sectors such as medicine and healthcare, employment, transport, manufacturing, agriculture, and armed conflict. While there has been considerable attention devoted to robotics and AI applications in these sectors, they said it is time to gain a fuller picture of their connections and their possible consequences for our shared humanity. In addition to examining the current research frontiers in AI and robotics, the conference will discuss their possible impacts on the well-being of society, the risks to peace and sustainable development, as well as their ethical and religious dimensions. Among other issues, participants will focus on the implications that person-robot relations can have on society, taking into consideration differences between low- and high-income countries, rural and urban communities, and youth and the elderly. They will also examine AI and robotics in the changing character of warfare today. Pope Francis has also shown interest in this issue. In a message to the World Economic Forum in Davos in January 2018, he urged that AI, robotics, and other technological innovations be used to help contribute to the service of humanity and to the protection of our common home. Prior to that, in his encyclical Laudato Si, the Pope cites Italian-born German Catholic priest Romano Guardini, who notes that science and technology can lead to improving the quality of human life, but he laments that immense technological development has not been accompanied by a development in human responsibility, values, and conscience. This is not the first time that the Vatican is organizing a conference on AI and robotics. The Pontifical Academy of Sciences had organized a conference on power and limitations of artificial intelligence in December 2016, and another workshop was organized in March 2018 on artificial intelligence and democracy. I'm Robin Gomes.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please be sure to visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter. Many thanks go to Gaetano Paradisi in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo.